I think this should just be called Phone Calls with Bruce.
All right, we had a phone call chat today. Stephen went to Australia and New Zealand to see the inside workings and magic happening at AS Color. And then we talk about risk, taking on risk, taking off risk, and maybe how to think about that. Is it a measure of how much risk, or is it a measure of how quickly you can assess it and be able to move on? And a couple other things that we dive into. But I mean, you guys already know we've got incredible supporters that help put on this podcast every single week. First up, Stalls, which we were just visiting them in Chesterfield, Michigan. Such a fun time. Stalls is the leader in heat pressing solutions that help take custom apparel to the next level. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stalls makes the hustle easy. But wait, there's a code, Hustler20. Hustler20 that gets you 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Get the equipment, transfers, and support your business needs to stay smart and stay ahead. So head to Stalls.com. Actually, I was texting Frank Good about some equipment stuff. Yeah, anyway, Stalls.com. Thanks, guys.
Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft underscore daddy? He is just making the best videos right now on Instagram. Head over to Instagram, type in at Multicraft underscore daddy. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. You can mention the Printavo podcast and receive an extra 10% off your order. Dave gives away a case of free PMI tape for every episode. All you have to do is DM him on Instagram and he will pick a winner. Subscribe, Dave's awesome. So go follow him, leave him a nice comment, buy from Multicraft. They take great care of us. Thanks so much, Multicraft. We appreciate you.
Easyway.com/giveaway. Head to that website, go there and put in your info because they are giving $250 in product credit every single month. Easyway is launching this new giveaway program and they've offered it to our audience. So that is really cool. Be able to head there. Easyway.com/giveaway. Easyway is making reclaiming screens a whole lot easier. So you, Stephen, don't have to spend time cleaning dirty screens. Thanks, Easyway.
Bruce, do you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department? Well, you can go to GraphicSource. They offer industry-leading outsource options for your shop. By truly becoming a part of your team, they plug and play with Printavo and other shop management softwares. So when it comes to SEPs, mocks, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. With over 40 years in the game, they really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. You can hit up GraphicSource for all of your art staffing needs. Use code PRINTAVOPOD24 for 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. All right, let's get to it.
Let's jump on in.
I have a question, Bruce. You're on a walk with your dogs. You have two of them. You quickly realize that you go to look at your leash and you're out of bags. Your dogs do their business. What do you do?
Well, this has happened a few times and I scurry home to try to grab. Well, first of all, I look around to see if I could ask someone for a bag. And if not, I scurry home and grab a bag and then go back.
Okay, so you will go home, go get the bag, go back, grab it.
Yeah, because I'm not that far away from, like, I'm always kind of walking like big circles. Why? You just leave it?
No, I would do similar. I had to ask someone. Someone was walking. I was like, hey, can I? And they're like, yeah, no problem. But then the like,
if someone poops and then leaves, though, do you say something to them?
No. Do you?
I haven't seen this happen, but I feel like I would.
You would say something.
Dude, it's disgusting when the stuff's all over the place or you accidentally step in it. I mean, the shoes are just ruined.
Just wanted to know what your moral compass was like for a situation like that.
Yeah, we'll call them out. Or in my head, I'd call them out. May not do it in reality.
Even if you have to go back and get a bag, I still feel guilty. Like I'm leaving the scene of an accident and I need to go back and get it.
Yeah, totally. You're like, that's what I'm hustling
I hope
back.
No one sees this, but I'm going to go do the right thing. But they're going to think that I abandon it. These are things that go through my head.
Now we know. Stephen, you were in Australia, New Zealand, you ran another marathon. I don't know what number this is. 5, 8?
Number 5.
Dude, that is insane. Congrats. That's insane.
Thank you. Thanks.
And in Australia, which is like, why there? The last couple you did LA, Chicago, or more Chicago.
Yeah, I've done Chicago and LA, and I entered the lottery. It's a world major marathon now in Sydney. So I entered the lottery with my cousin, and they didn't get in and I did. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to Australia. And I actually did my first solo travel. I went to Australia alone for 2 weeks. So that was kind of my milestone. But yeah, I also got to go to New Zealand. And while I was in New Zealand, I got to meet, I got to go visit AS Color and Mike from Supercolor.
Which that's their, New Zealand is their HQ. That's where they began.
New Zealand is their HQ. So I got to spend, from 12 o'clock to like 7 p.m. with Larry, the founder, and Clive, their new CEO, and me. It was a treat.
Push me over the edge. We got our New Zealand tickets as well now, so.
Okay.
Looking forward to the 15 and a half hour flight.
Yeah. It's a long flight. New Zealand is one of the most beautiful countries. It is so green. Everyone is so kind there. They all sound really funny. Cars drive on the opposite side of the road. So I almost got hit by so many cars, like stepping in front of traffic and being like, whoop, looked the wrong way. Yeah, got to spend an entire almost day with AS Color. And if you know AS Color from the outside looking in, obviously they're an incredibly like reputable brand. We love their blanks. They do an incredible job. The insides match the outsides.
That's kind of how I felt when we visited the Rock facility in Portugal and we walked into their facility. It was like everyone's wearing the most clean cut pressed polo. The manufacturing floor is so well lit. The floor is clean, the equipment, everything's put away. Now, maybe it was because they had so many people coming, but still, it was just so cool. I was like, oh, okay. The equipment kind of matches the facility you guys are working in. So that's how you felt at AS Color too.
Yep. And I don't know if you know this, but AS Color actually has retail stores around Australia and New Zealand. Like you can go in and just buy a blank shirt. Do you know that?
I've seen the photos, but there's none in the States, right? Or is it just
I don't think there's any in the States. I think maybe that's something they're working on. But yeah, like AS Color is the way that I got the impression that I got is like that is the standard shirt in New Zealand and Australia.
What do you mean? The brand or the cut or the
brand and just the de facto blank shirt that everyone goes to. Maybe as we think Comfort Colors as like the de facto premium in the United States, like AS Color is the de facto in Australia and New Zealand. It is in every retail store, every gift shop, music merch, like it's everywhere. But then they also have retail stores where you can go buy blanks. And as Clive was explaining, he's like, that's just our marketing engine. That's just our, you know, those are just our front doors so people can see it, feel it, touch it, whatever. And then obviously if they want to buy blanks, they can.
Did you see the retail store?
Yeah. Clive and I, we went into one and just like popped in.
Did they know it's Clive or no?
Yeah, I guess it was the one he pops in a lot to. Okay. And so I was like, oh, are we going to do a mystery? Funny.
Like with those CNBC shows where they like disguise the boss going in to look at something.
And just what was so interesting. So when I went in there, like in their warehouse or their, you know, their distribution center, nothing was, it was immaculate. It was super clean. They have this boardroom. And when Clive did the interview with us, he did it in that boardroom. So you can see there's glass behind him. So you can actually see the facility and the distro running. Their entire like main team works right there, all next to each other. Clive's desk's next to everyone else's. They have their boardroom, their sampling room, you know. They are such a lean team. I think there may have been like, not including the warehouse, maybe 75 employees. That's it. Maybe 50 to 60 or 70 tops. That was it. To like run the entire company.
And they have other team members too in the States, but you're saying maybe majority are based in New Zealand doing product and support.
Graphic designers, marketers, product development, customer service. And then in the US, like Rick and his team, there's the whole sales team here and probably in Europe and things like that. But like a very, very lean and efficient team. And I would think there would be more employees, but like, nope, that's it.
It's interesting with the back to the stores thing, which is like, I'm not sure, like who was the last company that really tried to do wholesale and stores? Like maybe American Apparel was the biggest one. I mean, I know Bella's dabbled in it a little bit, but I'm not sure if those stores are still around.
You know what company tried to do it recently? Alternative. Do you remember Alternative?
Oh, they did have some stores, but the ones that by us closed.
Yeah. Bella tried to do it and I think they clawed it back. I don't think it worked. But if you think about it from a marketing standpoint, and those are your billboards and they break even for you, right? They're just like these, I mean, kind of look like coffee shops, a couple thousand square feet. It's almost like a loss leader to get exposure. I don't know if they lose money on them or not, but it's an interesting thing. Way when I asked Clive about it, I was like, are these big money makers? He's like, it's like our front door so people can see into AS Color and know what they're going to get. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. It's like a showroom for wholesale.
Also has a good anchor for price points. I mean, Brett at the last episode at Printed Threads was talking about, you know, okay, if we're decorating on, I don't know, Carhartt or something, like people know what it costs in a store in person. He's like, why am I charging less than that for someone buying more? Like they're already expecting to pay what they get it for at a store. And that was kind of cool for them to be able to anchor prices too to retail. I'm not sure what they retail for. I should look it up.
Well, I took a video of it and I'll see if we can pop it up. But I sent it to my team and I'm like, hey, everyone. Yeah, I sent them the store and I said, like, here's a blank t-shirt that's selling for like, it was a baby rib tank top and it was selling for 39 New Zealand dollars, which probably more like 30 US. But I was like, hey, look, like we don't need to be giving discounts on this stuff below that. Look at what it's retailing for. That's really interesting. It like elevates it.
Yeah, that's so true. So you walk into headquarters. Is that also a warehouse or like, is their office separate? What was that like?
It is their distribution facility or one of many. I don't know exactly how many they have around the world. There could be like 7 or 13. But then they do have their main corporate office right there where the majority of them work. And it's like just a beautiful space. Looks like AS Color, smells like AS Color. It's crispy clean, like, you know, beautiful black, like detail, you know, super modern. It looked like AS Color. I don't know how to describe it. AS Color has a look, right? It looked like their website.
What's the warehouse like? I mean, if most people have seen maybe or picked up goods at a Sanmar or an S&S type warehouse, and it's just like such an impressive site. But when we had Clive on the podcast, his background, it looked more like there was robots or other stuff going on. And it seems like they've automated a lot.
Yeah. So I think Clive said, I think it's like an 80,000 square foot facility or 80 to 100,000 square feet. Don't quote me. They have like automated picking where the blanks come to the person and then they can pick them in the bins. So like, I think Clive said there's 22,000 unique SKUs, which includes every size of every blank of every color. And those all are in these like robotic things that like come to the person so that the person can just pick it and put it in there in the box. And so like the people don't move, everything comes to them. I think
those are like the shelves things comes to them. Like there's a robot underneath that brings it.
Yeah. And so I think what he was saying is like a warehouse used to have between 75 and 100 people that would have to work in it to do all these different things. And they can get the same output, if not more, with like 15 people per shift.
Are there any robots picking items too, or that's where people have to be?
There has to be a human there to do part of it. Right now, like if someone were to order a full case, perhaps like they still need forklifts running up and down some of the, you know, like the pallet racking to fill the speed picking. But the speed picking, like it literally moves the box to you. It tells you exactly how many you're going to need. It knows it by weight. And then when it's done, it like, it's like Willy Wonka, it like moves to a different part and just goes down a conveyor belt. And it's like, okay, that's ready for shipping. And when it goes down for shipping, they even know the size of tape. Actually, they go into bins first and it knows like the exact box you're going to use. There's no question about anything. Knows the box you're going to use. It knows the label. It knows the tape that you're going to use to seal the box and then where it's going to go after. So like there aren't any questions. It's just like, go do your job.
I think Frank Myers, the CEO, when we had him on of S&S, said they have something similar. And if you look at YouTube, just search Amazon warehouse order picking robots. You can also see, I don't know if this is the same thing, but it's like, it looks like one of those vacuum robot things that people have, you can have in your house now. It just cleans the floor. It looks like that slides underneath shelves, picks them up, and moves them over to the person to grab stuff off shelf. When they're done, it moves it back somewhere else. But what's even crazier, and I'm sure there's a similar, it's like the distance between that move also depends on how frequent those items are picked. So like, you don't want to move something all the way back to the back of the warehouse if it's like the most popular, you know, 100 products or whatever it is, but it keeps it kind of close and like centered around in the area.
Yeah. But I just thought about that. I'm like, okay, putting in this system for like robotics, like they must have spent millions and millions of dollars to do it, right? Bigger than any screen printing press we're ever going to buy, right? Bigger than any digital squeegee that's out there. Like, this is a multi-million dollar investment, but they were able to reduce their headcount and increase efficiency and quality, you know, by like from 100 to 10 or 15 people per shift and speed up the process. And it's like, I just kind of thought about it. I'm like, do we think about our industry in the same way, like on the ground floor and making the same bets? Like, for instance, for Clive and Larry, installing this is a no-brainer, but it's a multi-million dollar investment and it'll take 6 months to a year to do. Do we think the same way as small business owners in making these like economies of scale bets and like investments in technology? And like, are we just thinking like a week from now or a month from now?
It's a great question. Do you think it's also because they have the space to think about it? Like, I wonder, I think about like, okay, what does Larry 10 years ago look like? And, you know, for historical purposes, people who haven't listened to the Printavo Larry interview. It's super fascinating. He's a guy who founded AS Color, was big into skate and surf world and grew that from there and so on. But he's hired Clive, who's now the CEO. That's who we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the space to necessarily think about that, but also the scale from like, even like a cash flow perspective, right? I mean, I guess, what does it mean for Campus Inc? Maybe more on a practical terms. Cause I'm thinking about, okay, the $1 million investment, that is, that seems out of reach, but okay, what is the $50,000 investment?
I do think the one thing that's really unique about AS Color, so like I was trying to reflect on that, like how are Larry and Clive able to take these bets, right? Obviously they run a profitable, good business that is fruitful and they've done a fantastic job there. They know what their North Star is and they like obsess over it. So AS Color will not go through a distributor. You have to buy direct from them. It allows them to talk to and be closer to the customer and, you know, for all of these reasons that they believe are true. And it's something about Larry where he obsesses over the product and the craft and the supply chain and getting the best quality product to the customer in the fastest time and owning that entire exchange, right? And so like once he knew and was super, the story I make up in my head is once they were super clear on what they were going to be and what they weren't going to be, executing on different parts of the puzzle seems like no-brainers. Like if we are going to own the supply chain, we have to invest in robotics to make sure that accuracy and speed is our top priority. Otherwise, we're going to look like idiots. Otherwise, people are going to be like, well, they should have just gone with S&S. Like, no, buying direct from them is actually super easy. And they ship just as fast.
It's like zooming out instead of the, well, where are we going? Like, what is the longer term vision here that we're connecting the pieces to instead of the immediate, like, I have some extra cash at year end. What should I buy?
Robots.
What was it like hanging out with, like, did they say some, I feel like sometimes hanging out with big boy operators or, you know, founders of big companies, I'm always looking for like interesting quotes or things that they say like, oh shit, yeah, that's good. Was there any moments like that?
It was interesting how they play off of each other. So you have a founder and a CEO. Larry was the former CEO who now has passed the torch to Clive. And Clive is there, you know, a founder takes a business from zero to one. It creates nothing to something. And then, you know, this Clive is the new CEO. He's taking it from one to N, right? There's a really good book. I think Peter Thiel writes Zero to One or something like that. And so you can see very clearly what each of them kind of obsesses over, right? And Clive is focused on the sales and the marketing and how do we take this thing to the next level and where are their areas and where's their white space? Where, you know, Larry is very focused on producing an amazing product and having the best supply chain and the, you know, like really, really like owns the craft of it. So it was interesting to see how they interacted. But what I thought was really cool was like how many notes they were taking, asking me questions to really understand like the end user.
Oh, really? Like what? What was the question? Like just learning about the market or what?
Yeah, what are we missing? Like, tell me, you know, we're talking a lot about like sports and stuff and like, you know, AS Color has done really well in music, for instance, and is thinking about other ways to get into it. And so like, what do shops actually want? What's the obsession with comfort colors? Like from your perspective, what's important to you guys? What do you complain about the most? So like they were really trying to understand my position. And I'm like, you don't care that much about me, do you? Like, I'm just like lint to you guys. And so it was interesting how much they actually cared about different parts of the business that I wouldn't have thought they would care about. And then like they really were trying to understand what makes the screen print owner tick and what they could do to, you know, elevate the experience for us. Right. So I thought that was super, super interesting. They really try to spend time listening and understanding their end user. And I think the difference they have to some of the bigger companies is those bigger companies are so far removed from the end user. Like, did you know, Bruce, that SNS Activewear doesn't share, you know, how much Campus Ink buys to Gildan? So Gildan has
clue. Or customer info. But that's similar to Amazon too. Like, Amazon sellers don't get that info back.
So then Gildan has to do all of their own market research to try and understand what we want. I mean, that's just like...
I'm sure their sales reps funnel up info, but you're right. That is one big step removed from getting direct, but not just direct feedback, quick feedback.
And it was really interesting how much they know about our industry. Like they knew all of the bigger name shops and, you know, and I mean bigger name like the Oklahomas and the Superior Inks and stuff like that. But then they were also excited about like some of the smaller ones that are doing some cool things too. So it's cool to talk to a manufacturer that is taking feedback literally and is listening and is trying to do something different and better. And I don't know, it just felt pretty exhilarating. I did go to their employee putt-putt happy hour employee kind of thing. And they invited me to it. And so I got to hang out with like 40 or 50 people from the AS Color team. And it was just fascinating to learn about their culture and what they were interested in. And, you know, I was talking to some of the guys that are installing some of these lean processes or some of the guys that were in the marketing department or in the design department. And so it was kind of cool to talk to them too. A lot of them come from the same cloth we all did. Like one of them's like, yeah, my parents had a screen printing company and I fell into this and now I work at AS Color. I'm like, oh, sick. Like, just like me and you.
Were there any thoughts that were interesting around why... that they've carved their own niche so hard, like so much so, as in the own distribution, I feel like is a huge deal. Very expensive investment to be able to set up and operate something like that. But it gives them, you know, the pros that they want and the fast iterations and the customer feedback and all that. The sort of look and feel, I mean, is very distinctive across the space of all their brands. The quality is definitely a level up. I mean, some of these items are a lot more higher priced. They, you know, I don't know if this is like Larry's brainchild or somebody, but like all these unique products. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole of cool stuff. What do you feel like made them tick with, hey, we want to just make dog bowls or we want to make like, you know, a cooking apron, like a really nice cooking apron?
I think there is, I was brain dumping with them on what cool gifts shops would want, you know, cause they can sell like a mini basketball hoop on there and they've got all of this random stuff. And I think there's something that they hold on to. It's like when someone feels AS Color, they remember it, right? Or when someone gets something from AS Color, there's some sort of connection, right? Whether it's, oh, it's the mini basketball hoop or, oh, they're the ones that send the squeegee. And so I think they, and this is again, just my opinion, is they see what everyone else is doing and they're like, we're going to do our own thing over here and just be a little weird and a little unique and a little different. And we're not going to be diluted with the rest of them. And we're okay being the outsider. Like, I think they pride themselves. Because if I were to ask you, Bruce, what are the best brands to buy on Sanmar? There might be some you don't even know about. But then if I were to ask you, like, what are the best brands in our industry to buy, you would point out AS Color, right? Like that. So I think they know that the hardest part about the brand building is doing it alone, but the payoff is like so much better when you're on the other side of it. They're definitely contrarian about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you, when you see AS Color from the outside looking in, what do you think?
For me, I think it just applies to me as a target audience, the different types of fits, the briefs, the jackets, the items are maybe more on trend, I guess what you would say, with more of a, like the modern fit. But, you know, I guess that doesn't necessarily appeal for everybody. But I know for Chrisette's perspective with her brand, it's the quality. Like, she wants to pride herself on really good quality stuff that she prints and sells. So
it's interesting. I think what we're starting to see is premium is starting to narrow their channels, right? Like, so for instance, American Apparel just went exclusive with SNS. Did you see that?
No.
I mean, I think some others might be taking a page out of what AS Color is doing. Who knows? I think Stanley and Stella is another one. Do you know anything about Stanley and Stella?
Yeah. They were mentioned a few times actually at the Stalls event. Do you guys buy from them too, from Samwar?
No, not really. Haven't yet. But yeah, super interesting, super cool trip. What else you got, Bruce?
I was listening to an episode, an interview with a guy named Hayes Bernard. You probably haven't heard of him, but he runs a company called Good Leap, and they do a lot of like financial stuff, lending, a lot of like, if you want to build some commercial or get commercial solar on your building or solar on your residential home, they can help finance it and help install. It's been pretty big in that space for some time. And it was a great interview. And I think the one thing that stuck with me was he said a quote and I wrote down, he said, "You got to give up to go up. You have to give up to go up." And I was like, that is interesting. But what does it mean? And what it reminded me of was back in, you know, when I was actively running Printavo and so much was going on and I was managing just so many different people, probably 10 to 15 direct people. And there was a couple other managers that are helpful there too, but I couldn't give up. I couldn't give up things to allow myself to go up. And I think that's why a lot of us may feel burnt out if you have a team present that you can be able to rely on. And so that quote, give up to go up, really has allowed him to continue to elevate, to continue building. Now, he's done a great job of bringing in the right people around him. But still, if you, we talked about this before, if you're saying the word just, I would say the word just so much. Like, I will just do this or that. That just little task compounds, I feel like, so much. Now, you like challenging me though sometimes and saying, hey, you got to get down into the weeds and like actually just do this and then, you know, maybe move on. But I always feel like I really like that quote of give up to go up in a like a high level thought process to allow something to continue growing.
Where in Printavo's, in your life cycle at Printavo, was your like biggest, your first give up point that you wish you made earlier?
First was on engineering and product and allowing someone else to completely take that on. The one thing I didn't do well enough though was setting the expectations that I wanted from them. So I sort of like said, hey, I need you to handle this, but I didn't say, hey, look, here's what I expect. I need a quarterly roadmap. What are the things you're going to be able to work on, or monthly or whatever? And then towards the end, I needed to tell me what got done and what didn't get done. And so I didn't do the best job of setting the expectations of what I needed done from them as specific as possible. So I think that was a big one. I think having someone take on sales and success was another big one that was helpful. And then a lot, you know, there's so many operational things when it comes to sales. Brett had printed, I was talking about this last time. He's like, I've actually just stepped out more of sales just because I tend to give the worst price for the business, as in something too low versus them. And I think for us, it's like, well, I can't do the follow-up. Like, we get excited by the hot lead, but the hot lead, you know, a lot of times turns into a lot more follow-up or details that's required of that task. So anyway, being able to hand off a lot of the sales operations things, I think, is shockingly helpful in allowing you to be able to focus on bigger deals or people or whatever things you got to do.
When we were at the Stalls event, or where did I hear this? I think the new CEO of Stalls said she was complimenting Ted. I think she said something along the lines of, Ted is the type of person that has high accountability, that leads with like high accountability, but low control. Meaning he'll hold you to the highest standard, but he's not going to get in your way and you can do whatever you want. And so like there, I might be paraphrasing quite a bit, but there's like different leadership styles of like accountability and support, right? Or like accountability and control, right? Where like, are you the type of leader that when you relinquish control, you're just going to, you're still going to be close to them and give them a lot of support. So you're not holding them as accountable, or like you hold them to a high standard, but you'll let them do whatever they want.
That's a great question. This feels like a great, one of those things where it sounds great, hard to implement or hard to do. Like maybe when you want it done your way, or it's hard for you to step back and let someone fail till they get to the expectation that you have. But
I think I'm the type of person that has super high accountability, but if I trust you and you're doing an amazing job, I won't bother you at all. I don't even want to meet with you.
So how do you find more of those people?
I just think like in your print shop, could you trust someone enough to just like turn your back on it for a week?
So we're starting with Fridays. That's your challenge for everybody.
What? Get out of the shop on Fridays? No, there's this article of like four leadership styles of support, accountability, and it's like high support, high accountability, low support, low accountability. It's got a little chart on the best type of them. But I think this goes back to your give up to go up, meaning you have to give away control, hold people super accountable to create space for you to do other things.
I like it. You wrote down a note in here as well. When to say yes and no to things. What do you mean by that?
I'm dealing with this right now.
The shiny objects?
The shiny objects. Okay, when you're small, you want to say yes to as many things as possible to increase your surface area, because that's how you're going to get lucky and something's going to pop and something's going to be awesome. I would call this being on a jet ski. I love being on a jet ski. It's like ADHD. We can try this out. We can try this out. Did this pop, right? Like new domain names every single day. Your business grows and grows and grows and grows. Now you are no longer on a jet ski. You are on a sailboat. And every time you want to turn the boat, you got to rework the sails to make a turn, right? And that's not fun. It's so lame. And so the problem is, though, if you, every move you make or every yes you say to something, it's a costly move to move back and forth. It could be like detrimental to your business. And so the bigger and more mature your business gets, actually, the more you have to say no to things. Otherwise, you could make some detrimental moves.
I have a quote, Rework by Jason Fried. In his, I think the name of the chapter was Say No by Default. And I think this, by the way, I think this really applies after, like closer to $1 million in sales, which means that you've created some sort of flywheel in the business. And the flywheel essentially means it's just like you've created momentum. You've created a bit of a machine that proves, hey, this is working. We've clearly had people that have success. They're buying things, services, whatever it is. They're coming in, they're using it, they're getting spit back out, and they're happy with it, and a good amount come back. And basically what he's saying is that it's easy to say yes. It's hard to stay focused and avoid long-term regret. Saying yes adds weight. I really like this. Saying yes adds weight. More space, more equipment, more people. It all adds weight, and that allows for inflexibility. Basically, another chapter, which he mentions, companies, as the larger they grow, envy the smaller companies because they are more flexible. And so you're never as flexible as you are now. You will only slowly become more inflexible over time. Embrace having less. Every large company wishes they were more nimble. Less is good. It limits resources to force you to be more creative. And we've talked about that a little bit more on the people side and getting smart with it. Be careful what you say yes to. Now, the last episode, which hopefully this airs after that one, but Brad at Printed Threads talked about he analytically tries to prove this so that there's no question for anybody, as in, I physically know the cost to be open for an hour. I know the cost to add another person and what it does to what our margins look like. And I know what the margins that we need to be able to hit. So it's in yes or no. It's like literally black or white, and it eliminates any of the gray area. Now there's a lot more gray area that comes, like, well, I'm sure you guys are wrestling with, or, you know, when we tried to dive into merch as far as our online stores, or, you know, internal struggles and trying to keep up with product development, all that stuff. But yeah, saying no by default, it's interesting.
But then the question becomes, Bruce, there were times in your business and mine.
Yeah, where it's pivotal because you said yes.
Where you have to be at the poker table and just say yes and like make the bet. And so something I said to my leadership team, I said, there were a couple inflection points in our company. If I sat around and asked everyone what they thought was, you all would have convinced me why not to do it. And instead I just went and did it. And I'm glad that was the choice I made. So when do you think it's the time where you should just say like, fuck it, I'm gambling on this? Because you have to have a little bit of that, right? Isn't that the juice?
Maybe if we want to make it really tactical, it's things that you can pull back, or you can at least reevaluate in a month and have the courage to say, hey, let's cut this. It's not working, or and continue on our old path or not. Because I think the problem comes in is that, you know, all this cool stuff is sort of icebergy. Like you see sort of the 10%, but the hard work really is after that first 10%. Like that's the fun part. And then the harder stuff is right after that. It's like when we see and we have a shop on that talks about getting into live printing, right? And then they go to a live event and they're like, oh my God, the amount of stuff that we had to do, or we forgot, or this broke, or we had this issue.
So then Bruce, which hurts more? The regret of not doing something or failing after trying?
Good question. I like Bezos's thing just in life in general, where he says, when I'm 70 and I look back at my life as a whole, I don't want to say I regret not doing X. Now, I think that can go for both sides though, too. Like I am happy I didn't do Y as well. Like that I stayed focused on X too. Sorry, can't give you the right answer.
Get rich or die trying.
Are any examples in the past where you said yes that you're like, shouldn't have said yes, that maybe you took on specifically?
Like today or yesterday?
Hanging vinyl in stores or...
Yeah, like I have built some pop-up stores that have been the stupidest ideas that were not calculated, but have been some of my biggest moments of genius.
Because it led to some sort of big account or what, like what was the...
Yeah, I mean, the genesis of the NIL store was a pop-up that I did in Chicago totally impulsively that led to one thing that led us to be able to do it for Illinois, which then I was like, fuck it, I'll do it at Purdue. And so I set up a store there and yeah, like that was so stupid, but it worked.
Politics stuff aside, but like I think Elon is a great example of like impulse at a massive scale. You know, oh shit, the rocket blew up, it didn't work. Well, all right, let's get back to work and figure out how to launch into the next one and get that one to space. You know, we're building out cars. Okay, cool. Let's try to apply this autonomous technology to robots and start building that and start working on that.
Yeah. I mean, his genius is that he runs a massive experiment all the time and just fails faster than everyone else and does it faster. Like he gets back up.
Oh, so you're saying the speed at which you can either say this is a success or failure is maybe the determinant, not necessarily actually taking a left turn.
See, like, I don't think when people say the word like I failed, I don't think that's actually a failure. That's just like one part of the experiment. It's like, no, you didn't fail. You just got a negative indicator. You're still in business. Just try it again, different way. You just don't want one of those experiments. You don't want one of those experiments to put you under. And so I think when you have a crazy idea, write it down, put it under your pillow, pick it up in a couple of days, and then see if you still love it.
Oh, that's a good one too.
You know,
or buy something big, give it 30 days.
Yeah, like it's kind of the Amazon effect. If I really want something, I really wanted this really nice lens for my camera because I was going to be able to like shoot some sports stuff and like, I don't need this. Added it to my Amazon cart, did not check out. It's still sitting in my Amazon cart, so I haven't forgotten about it. But I'm like, I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. And so it's still sitting in there and I'll probably remove it soon. But maybe that's how you work on the impulse, right? I think the other thing that is good is to run it by some people and get them to put you through just a process of, hey, how big can this get? Where do you see this? What blind spots do you have? Are we going to hit a plateau here? I don't know, having a group or someone or something to like run it by. Hey guys, what do you think of this?
Like Fabric, your Fabric group, Fabric.ing.
Dude, my
Open
Fabric
up
group.
The next cohort.
My Fabric group is wicked. We just
That's
complain
awesome.
To each other.
All right, pronouncers. Yeah. Appreciate you guys listening to us. Just some thoughts because we could either do this over the phone or we'll just hit record and do it live here. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We'll see you at Print Hustlers. Make sure to get your tickets, printhustlers.com. Have a good one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.